Meditating this week on the and the Psalms on the Song of Ascents, those that is the caravan with they all caravan together into Jerusalem for the feast, and these are songs that would be decreed and declared on the road. So if you just kind of take all the religious thoughts out of it, just think of about a big tent caravan, and they're journeying together and they're decreeing things that they've been taught over the years, and you know, to proclaiming them. And I just love that, just thinking about everybody together just kind of going in the same direction and saying the same things. And one this week that we've heard over and over is itself the Lord, Psalm 27. Itself the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. And except the Lord keeps the city, the watchman wakes, but in vain.
That's right.
It's vain for you to rise up early and to take rest late, to eat the bread of anxious toil. For he gives blessings to his beloved in sleep. And behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb's a reward. And as arrows are in the hand of the warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy, blessed, and fortunate is the man whose quiver is filled with them. They will not be put to shame when they speak with their adversaries in gatherings at the city's gates. And really, I had never tied all this together. But the truth of the matter is fruit comes out of rest. I believe really that's what this psalm is talking about. It's foolishness for us to try to do anything out of our own strength and out of toil. And we were meant to actually produce fruit, but never out of our own strength and toil. It all comes out of realizing that all of our source from the very beginning is from the Lord himself. When Adam was in that garden, it was created to bear fruit, not necessarily to toil for fruit. And so, you know, anything that we're doing in our life that's coming out of that place of toil, I'm here to tell you that probably fruit is not going to come out of that place. It's going to be something we produce that won't last. But things that come out of understanding that unless the Lord builds a house, unless he does it, unless we just step back, and we just enter into what he's doing, we'll never really see the children, the fruit of the womb. We'll never really see that take place. And I know that personally because our daughter dealt with infertility for 6 years. And the Lord actually showed me prophetically it's because she was working and trying to produce something. And in fact, when the Lord began speaking to me, I was sitting in a doctor's office under, you know, a woman's exam, and I was sharing with her this thing about my daughter, you know, not being able to bear children. And, you know, and we've never had that in our family, and it was interesting. My daughter called during this conversation right in the middle where the doctor was saying to me, "You'll never know how many women come in here who have adopted a child, have a baby in a carrier, and they're pregnant." She said it happens over and over. It's only until they're able to let go and really just let this thing happen. And I just, in my own life, I felt like this morning driving in. I've been in a huge shift in my life. And it came from this one pivotal moment for me when I was able to let go of something that I felt like I had begun in the spirit. But it had begun in the spirit, but had ended in the flesh. And it was a system of how I do things spiritually, revival, or how I approach God in every area that's being tried in my life right now. But it's been the greatest joy to let go right now and get out of the box that I've been in for 40 years. And I began to ask the Lord to break all the religious thoughts that have been in me, my religious systems, because, you know, all they are is one thing. They're substitutions for one thing. The Lord himself being the source, Jesus. It all boils down to just Jesus. He's already, we sang it this morning. He's finished the work. He's already done it. We're just to sit back and let that rest happen. You know, the book of Hebrews is about rest. And that's where the fruits then come from. But as long as the children of God who don't really know their children yet continue to toil to try to get something that we already have, something that's already available to us. We will never see the multiplicity that we're wanting to see in the harvest, in our lives, in our churches, in our families, any of it. Because unless the Lord builds a house, those they labor in vain who labor. And I just wanted to give you, I've never put that together, that really fruit comes out of rest. It comes out of just knowing that the work of the cross is finished. It is done. It is settled. The tragedy of the fall of man was fixed the day our Lord and Savior hung on the cross. He took every weight, every burden, every sin, every failure that we would ever find ourselves in. It is fixed. It's done it. It's done. And so now, as children of God, we find ourselves in a place of rest in the finished work. Everything will flow out of that. So that's my story. So I'm here today to say this to you. We need to let go of some things. We've got systems in place that are holding back what God wants to do next. It's going to be wild. It's going to be great. But as long as we hold on to these systems that substitute the Holy Spirit, Jesus Himself, we will never come in to all that He has designed for us.
So,
amen.
Amen.
Woo. That's good.
Yay.
Well, she wants me to get up and share all that.
So it's good to be here. You know, one thing you have to let go of is people, right?
Yeah.
In your life. Sometimes God puts people in your life, and then sometimes the Lord takes people. And so you had to be able to hold everything with open hand, because the Lord always comes and sees what if your hand's open or if your hand's gripping.
Yeah.
And so we have a dear lady, I want to pray for her family. I said that on purpose. Who, a mother, if we ever had a mother in our church, it was this lady named Bunny Linker. But she's probably going to be going on with the Lord here within days, maybe in hours even. She's been sick for a long time. She's older, you know, up in age, but she was amazing, man, for years in our church. She was amazing.
Yeah.
It's probably the only person I know that never said a bad word to me. She was always nice to me, even when I didn't deserve it, which is a lot. But
yeah.
I want to pray for her family.
Yeah.
Because she had Parkinson's disease, you know, that messed you up. And then I think she had a pretty serious stroke a few days ago. And the doctors are saying she's not going to recover, and she's going up in age anyway. So perhaps it's her time. Perhaps she has finished her course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so Lord, we just want to lift up the Linker family to you.
Yeah,
Lord, we thank you for Bunny. She's awesome. Lord, people in this room who know her love her. Everybody loves her, Lord. People who are not in this room really don't know that she has had a big influence on all of us. She's had a father's heart in a mother's body.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been such an amazing healing hospitality that she carried since I've known her, Lord. So thank you for the memory of Bunny. And I pray the next few days or however long, Lord, if it truly is her time to depart, if her course is finished, and we just release her to you, Lord.
Yes, that's right.
She's yours anyway. She doesn't belong here.
That's right.
She belongs in heaven with you.
Amen.
And if it's her time to check out, Lord, we just release her to go.
Yes, Lord.
Pray for grace over her family, over her sons,
amen,
over her daughter, Lord, over, Lord, her husband, Neil, and all those people who just dearly love her and have found strength, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm going to have a little bit of a message. I'm not going to try to do no teaching here, which I'm not good at anyway. So, you know, this year's been a really amazing year. I think it's been a shift, like Becky was saying, and that scripture you read. It's 2018 is something God wants all of us to enter into what He's doing now. And I think, personally, I think every year that has an 8 in it has some significance in it, because you know 8 is the new beginning number, And I was even thinking in 2008 of some major things happened in our nation in 2008, which really set us on a course for the last 10 years. You know, that was when the bubble busted, the economy. It was in 2008. That's when they did that big bailout thing, 700 and something billion bucks. The government took over the banking system. The government took over the insurance companies. You know, probably took over a lot of other things, too, that we don't know about yet. But we had President Obama was elected, the first black man to ever be the president of the United States. That happened in 2008. All those were significant events in like a new beginning, a new direction for our country, good or bad. Those were things that really happened then. Well, now we're 10 years down the road, 2018, and there is major things going on in the earth. Okay, major things. Here are a few things that people are really not aware of that's happening. One is the whole thing, everybody knows about this, about North Korea. Mm-hmm. This is a war that has gone on for, 60-something years. Okay, I've been to Korea, and you got families that have been divided for 60-something years. It's personal over there. Seoul, Korea, which is I don't know how many millions of people there, but there was enough artillery weapons aimed at them from North Korea to completely destroy that city and kill, 30 million people. That was sort of their ace in the hole in North Korea. But now they're promising that they are going to disarm their nuclear capabilities completely and do away with it and demilitarize the whole Korean Peninsula. That's a significant thing that has happening right now. Yeah. Saudi Arabia. Okay, I don't know if you follow what happens in Saudi Arabia. You have to dig for this stuff, all this stuff. It's not the news doesn't tell you. In fact, whatever the news tells you is probably not right. On both sides, that's my opinion.
That's right.
I don't really follow the news, but Saudi Arabia has a crown prince, which is his daddy's the king. They have an empire, they have a kingdom over there. He's the future king, and he is a very conservative man. He has agreed recently to allow Christian churches to be built in Saudi Arabia. That's really sick. That's where Mecca is. That's where the Muslim Mecca is. And he's agreed for this to happen. I mean, that's incredible. He has come out publicly and said that Israel has a right to exist as a nation. Unheard of.
Yeah.
Totally unheard of. Israel has a right to exist as a nation. A lesser thing, but an important thing, they're now allowing women to drive cars there. They couldn't drive cars. In fact, they've said recently they can drive without their veil, their face veil on. And the king's wife actually got out and drove a car without her face veil on recently.
Wow.
All this is a significant thing that's happening in our world right now in 2018. I'll tell you another thing that's going to happen in a couple of weeks is the United States is going to dedicate our embassy in Jerusalem.
Right.
Wow.
And that's significant. That's real significant. If you were in Israel and you were involved in any kind of religious or political, that's major. They realize that's a blessing. And it's also create some difficulties for them. And there's other nations that are also going to move their embassy there. That's really significant. That has a lot of implications. Also, another thing that's happening, which is really a lot of... It's really not out there in the front. It's in the front right now. It's Iran. Right now, the people of Iran, these are amazing people, Iranian people, amazing. There is a grassroots revolution going on over there where they are turning against the ruling party. And I believe before the year's out, we're going to start beginning to see an overthrow of the ruling party. And we will probably see, I believe we're going to see Iran, you know, give up their nuclear weapons.
Wow.
I really believe we're going to see that. I believe we're going to see a whole shift of the whole Middle East and all of that thing. So all this is significant things that's happening in the world. And I guess what I want to encourage you today is for you that this 2018 can become a new beginning for you. That's what I'm trying to say. God is doing things. You know, church people are the worst people in the world, okay? When we get to thinking about God doing stuff, we think about it in our little spiritual world, okay? Our little church world, our little movement world. That's craziness. That's craziness. God is doing a lot of things in the world. He's up to a lot of things. And what He wants us to do is start dialing in to what He's doing. Okay? So we can begin to flow with what He's doing. You know, all these things I just shared with you, these are really important things for us to be praying into. Every one of them. Because there's a lot of resistance. Everything I shared with you, those things that are happening now, there's a lot of resistance to every one of those things. Yeah. There's a whole like dark side that's trying to stop all of that from happening. Yeah. And so God is wanting to start begin to reveal to the church what's going on in the world, what's going on internationally, so we can begin to do our part. And a lot of our part is to pray into these things and see what the Holy Spirit will do in terms of bringing and bringing peace in the world, you know, in places. You know, so we have this window of opportunity, I feel, this year to do some things. And so I believe that also can be for you. Okay, that's really what I want to do. I want to encourage you that for you personally, this can be a new beginning for you. How many people could use a new beginning?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all of us could. And so I feel like that's something God is doing right now. And so I wanted to share a little, some of our little journey here. So, you know, every year, prophetic people have this thing called the Word for the Year. Y'all know what that is? Well, a few years ago, I decided I was going to disengage from that. But here's the reason. It's like, you know what? I'm kind of sick of all that. I'm kind of sick of hearing words for the year that don't ever come true. You know, it's like one very prophetic friend of mine. He said, a lot of these prophets now, it's like they're throwing noodles on the wall. And whatever sticks, you know. But most of it's not sticking, you know. And so there was definitely a shift in the prophetic in the last few years. We actually lost some very powerful prophetic voices, like fathers in the prophetic realm, like Bob Jones, John Paul Jackson, Kim Clement. These were like prominent prophetic voices. Plus, there were many prophetic people that were not so prominent that we lost. Okay, so there was something happening in the whole prophetic realm that it sort of lost its breath in a sense. I really, you know, I don't know if you experienced that. Well, so I personally, like, I'm not out of the prophetic, but I'm out of this Word for the Year thing. Okay, I'm telling you that because this year on January the 1st, 2018, you know, I woke up and I thought, wow, it's January the 1st, 2018. And Lord, just in case, you may possibly might kind of have a word for me for this year. I would be glad to hear that, even though I don't believe in it. Not that I don't believe in it, but, you know, I'm not participating in that no more. You can still tell me that. And so I got up, and as I was walking out of my bedroom to go get me a cup of coffee, the Lord spoke to me, and He gave me a word. And this is what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk about this where He said, this was the word. The word was, stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. And I thought, stay in your lane. That's the Holy Spirit. That's my word. Okay, what the heck is my lane? I don't even know what my lane is. You're telling me to stay in it. This is going to not be easy. So I want to just talk to you a little bit about that, okay? And I think it's a word for all of us, okay? First, I'll read a couple. Here's a couple of verses. 2 Timothy 4:7, this is Paul at the end of his life. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I have finished the race. I've kept. This is all three powerful things, but the word there, race, literally means course. And it's like it means a course of life or a course of ministry or a course of profession. And Paul was basically saying, I finished my course. I finished it. So I could say to you, that gives me information. That's a lane that Paul had, a specific place, a specific course, a specific lane that God gave him to flow in, and that's what he did. And when he came to the end, he said, well, I've finished. I'm done. It's time to go on now. And that was actually very shortly later, Paul was, you know, murdered. Let's read Psalm 37, verse 23. It says, the steps of a good man, listen, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. He delights, the steps of a good man. So God has this order, this place, this path, this journey that he's given everybody. Mm-hmm. And God's ordered it, and God's given it to us. And it says the Lord actually delights in revealing that step to you. He wants to reveal what your course is. And that's what he was saying to me. I want to reveal to you what your lane is. So you'll know, you can't stay somewhere you don't know where you're supposed to stay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to reveal this. In fact, I delight to reveal that to you. See, that's the thing. You know, we got to shift our thinking about the Lord and believe that God wants to answer our prayers. God wants to show us these things.
Yeah.
Why would he tell you to do something and not give you enough information to do it? He wants to reveal because God's generous and loving. Are y'all following me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I love that, you know. And I'll tell you this. This is what it is. In your lane, this is where you're going to find your number one, you're going to find the most pleasure in life. Number two, you're going to find your spiritual authority there, and natural authority. It's going to be, it's going to give you that thing of fulfillment when you're in your lane. That's where it's like the sweet spot. You know you're where you're supposed to be. You know you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You understand what I'm saying? We've probably all experienced moments of that, but sometimes you don't feel that. But there's a delight from the Lord that comes when we're in that place. You just know that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing with your life. And so God's created us, each one of us, particular. He's put you in a unique situation. The family that you were born into, you know, that was God created that. God designed that. God designed the way you were raised, the way your mom and daddy raised you. They could erase you and made a lot of mistakes, but he designed that. All of it was built in you. He had built and designed this whole thing for you to help you come up and live a certain way and be a certain person. Okay? And so a lot of people, we have to reconcile that, right? A lot of us weren't raised good. A lot of us have issues, parental issues, father issues. See, that's why all that revelation of the Father is so key, because we'll never be able to get into our lane until we're resolved that actually the things that we saw were terrible and bad, and they could have been terrible and bad, but God can turn them for good and use things in your life and let you see, this is how I really wanted to build you.
Yeah.
And you had to go through some hard stuff, but I'm going to use that in your life, and I'm going to make that help you be the person I want you to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, God's amazing. Nothing goes by. Nothing's wasted in God's kingdom. Nothing's wasted. Everything. God uses everything. There's no ashes in his kingdom.
Right.
You know, there's no byproducts. It's all used for his glory. Your natural parents, your family, your friends, all that, all through your entire life. And then as you become a believer, you know, God puts certain people in your life on purpose to influence you, to help mold you, to help you become who you're seeing. And some of these people can be irritating to you, right? Yeah. You know, remember the story of Hannah in the Bible and Peniah? You know, I don't know if y'all read 1 Samuel 1, you know, Hannah couldn't have a baby, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you remember that story.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's the guy had two wives, one, and she couldn't have a baby, okay? This is Samuel's mom, Hannah. She couldn't have a child, but the other wife, she was having piles of babies. You know, and in those days, the more babies you had, the more, you know, the better you was. You know, so she was having all these piles of babies. She was barren, and that was hard. But the name Peniah means irritant. Like, and the whole picture of it is how a pearl is formed in an oyster. Pearl is formed in an oyster because a grain of sand gets in there and brings irritation to the oyster. And the oyster creates this thing that winds up being a pearl to get that irritation off of him. Isn't that an amazing story?
Yeah.
In the scripture, how... And guess who? And this prophetic voice was birthed out of this woman, Hannah, because an irritant came into her life. God was using it. Am I speaking to anybody in this room?
Yeah, good.
Okay, I'm trying to help you see something about yourself. That God has a divine destiny and plan over your life. That He's working right now in your life to help you get there. Even the negative things.
Yeah.
So let me read this, Jeremiah 1:5. I love this. One time I was in such a terrible state of mind. Most of our problems are really not out here, it's in here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I get messed up. Just one little voice will come into my head and say something. Next thing I know, I'm just like, oh, the world's coming to an end. I'm dead. I'm defeated. I'm doomed. Then I'm like, no, I'm not. That's what that voice said. You know, that voice was not God. It was some voice, mainly probably from the demonic realm. I'll just tell you this because I love it. I was messed up, and I was going to get gas in my car. And as I got to the gas station, I got opened the door. The Lord said, I want to speak to you out of the trash can. Isn't that hilarious how the Lord, I want to speak out of the trash can. And so I walked over to the trash can. The trash can was full. This is at the gas station, you know, the pumps. It was full of trash. You know, oil can, I mean, it was just normal trash you would find, drinks and stuff. But there was one little piece of paper balled up on top. And I just instinctively reached that little piece of paper and I opened it. And it was just a verse out of Jeremiah that says, I'm with you.
Wow.
It was like something from a kid's Sunday school class. You know that God's trying to talk to you when he says, I want to talk to you at the trash can. And you pick up the one piece of paper that has a verse on it. And I needed to hear that God was with me because at the time, I didn't feel it felt like he was a long way, way away. God really does want to speak, and it came out of Jeremiah 1. But this is what the Lord said to Jeremiah. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I love that. I knew you. I just had this thing in me that says in heaven there's a conversation. This is not in the Bible, but I believe it's true. In heaven there's a conversation before you came to earth. Hey, Sarah, this is what's going to happen with the life. This Chuck and Janet Moore is going to be your parents. You're going to have two brothers. They're going to be Nathan and Addison. You're going to marry a guy named Matthew Bollinger. You're going to get connected with these people at this church. On and on and on. And you agree to it. He said, but here's the key. You're not going to know any of this. You're going to get here, you ain't going to know Jack. And you're going to go through some stuff. You're not going to know Jack until you get back here and realize, oh, yeah, we did the plan. You know, I just got this thought in my head. That's the way this thing really works. So, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart, sanctified you. Listen, I ordained you a prophet to the nation. Before he was even created in his mother's womb, God had already said, God had put something in him. God had put a DNA in him, a spiritual DNA in him.
Yeah.
That's a DNA verse. He implanted something in him. And so every one of us have this spiritual DNA in us. We have something deep inside us that was part of us when God created us. Okay, and so we have these attractions. We're attracted to something out here that we may not even be aware of, but in here there's something that says, I'm attracted to this. I'm attracted to this kind of worship. I'm attracted to this kind of preaching. I'm attracted to this kind of person. I'm attracted to this kind of food it's because of your DNA. It's because of who you are. It's because of what's inside of you. Are y'all following this?
Yeah.
And so that's it, because that's your DNA and all that. That's who you really are. It's your true identity inside of you. Okay?
Yeah.
And so that part is in you and it's in there. And it's in consciously or unconsciously, it's working inside of you. It's working and reflecting itself on the outside of you in different ways. Of course, it's perverted. It gets perverted because we don't know who we really are. We don't know the Father. That's why we spend a lot of time on identity and knowing the Father. You can never do too much of that. Ever. Because the Father is the one who gives identity. Mm-hmm. And the more we get to know Him, the more we get connected with Him, the more we know ourselves and know who we are. Mm-hmm. And know who we are in the truest sense of who we really are.
Yes.
Because He says, this is who you are.
Yes.
Because He's the only person who can tell you really who you are. And when you begin to get a revelation of God as your Father, that's when you can really, and pretty soon you're going to start seeing, the more you see the Father, the more you see yourself, your true self. And you start shedding all this stuff off of you that's not really you.
Yeah.
You know, all these masks and all this stuff you put on to try to live and try to survive in this world and get by and be something and be this and be that. You realize how foolish that is. You want to get rid of it.
Yeah.
All the religious stuff, you know, all the so-called spiritual stuff that's not really you. I want off. I don't want that on me. I want to be me. I want to be the person God says I am.
That's right.
Mm. You know, because that's what rings true in your life. You know, here's a spiritual law that I know that works really well, that works all the time. In the spiritual realm, like attracts like. Yeah. In the spiritual realm, God's attracted to himself. Angels are attracted to God. The devil's attracted to demons. You see what I'm saying? So whatever you're emitting, that's why, there's all this thing, don't be critical, because that attracts demonic spirits. And you start seeing a bunch of stuff that's bad.
Yeah.
Demonic spirits are attracted to that because they're attracted to what they are. They're critical. They're negative. Y'all got that?
Yeah.
That's important. No, that'll help you get free.
That's
so that's why what you are on the inside, you're attracted to things out here that you see because of who you are in
that's
here.
Right. That's
yeah.
good.
You know? I hope y'all seeing this, because that's really important. That's how you're supposed to live your life. You know, you live your life from in here, not out here.
Mm-hmm.
You make your choices and decisions from in here, what's true in here, what's real in here. You know, when we start doing it out here, we start compromising this. And when you start compromising who you are, you've compromised. You're compromised. It's not your life's not going to work.
Mm.
So, see, in the way God wants it, everything should flow from within you. And flow out of you. Are y'all getting
that's
this?
Because
y'all sitting there. Yeah. Somebody just sitting there looking at me like, what's he talking about? What does it have to do with staying in your lane? Well, it has everything to do with staying in your lane.
Yeah.
Everything. Because when you are living, being your who you God says you really are, then you will know instinctively what your lane is.
Yeah.
You'll sense it. You'll feel it. You'll know it. You'll flow with it. That's it. You don't have to work at it. That's what Becky was saying. You don't have to do all this stuff to get in your lane. It's a gift from heaven. It will just start flowing, and you'll step into it. You'll have this feeling, no, I know that ain't for me. Doesn't mean it's bad. It's just not what God's created me for.
That's right.
And I don't need to be pulled in 14 directions.
That's right.
Yes and amen.
Amen.
We are attracted outwardly to who we are inside, our true selves. You're going to be attracted to things out there. Really important. And that's the way God wants you to live your Christian life. So there's some people that are very attracted to business, Christians. Very attracted to business, very attracted to being successful. Because inside them, God's created this guy's success.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this, I was with some guys yesterday. Okay? And I looked down and thought, every one of these guys are created for success. Every one of them are going to be successful. They're younger men, they're young men, and you're in business. And they're all believers. But they got this thing working inside of them. They're going to be successful because that's who God created them to be. He created them guys to be businessmen and to go into the business world and be successful there and do what God's called them to do there. It's an amazing thing when you can begin to see that.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing. I have a friend, Jim Hill. He's spoken here before. Jim Hill is like the ultimate missionary guy.
Yeah.
You know, drag you out into the woods somewhere where there's four people that need to hear the Lord and about the Lord. That's what he wants to do. Because that's what's inside of him. God created him for that.
That's right.
When I go on trips and I'm like, oh, I'm glad I'm not that. For him, he takes pleasure in being in uncomfortable situations. I take no pleasure in it. The first time we went to China, we went with this girl who she'd been with Jim, and she had us booked in some ratty hotel. It was like, and she was saying the reason she did it. I said, I don't want to stay there. You know, I don't want to stay in no rat trap, hot, no air conditioning, you know, crummy. And she said, well, that's what Jim does. I said, I ain't Jim. I don't do trips like Jim. Give me a nice hotel with air conditioning and nice beds. But see, for him, that's what's in him.
Yeah.
That's what flows in him.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful when we can start getting comfortable with who we are so we can look at other people and celebrate who they are.
Right.
You know, and not pull them down and not find fault with them because we feel threatened. That's being insecure. And we don't feel like we're measuring up. You know? And that's what a revelation of God as Father will do. He'll help settle those things and settle your heart. You know, Paul talks about in Ephesians 4 about being blown around by every wind of doctrine. You know what I'm talking about? It's so easy to in Christian. There's so much stuff out there. Good stuff. Okay? But maybe not. You have to decide, where am I flowing at? What wind speaks to my heart? What wind gives life to me? That's the wind I need to flow in.
Right.
Good.
Yes and amen. I want to read this to you, though. Whew, are y'all okay?
Yeah.
Have mercy, Lord. Is anybody getting anything out of this?
Yeah.
I hope you are.
That's good.
I wanted to read this, Romans 8, 15 through 17. And I have this really great story behind this verse here because these, you know, just goes with what I'm talking about. I'll just read it to you. I just love it. It's from the Message Bible. It says, this resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. Isn't that beautiful? I just love that. But that just captures it. Not a timid, grave-tending life. That's not what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
It's adventurously expected, greeting God the child like, what's next, Papa? That's so beautiful. God's Spirit touches our spirit and confirms, listen, who we really are. That's what we need. We need His Spirit to touch us and say, this is who you are.
Yeah.
And you're awesome. You're awesome, you're awesome. You got to get that. You're awesome because He said you're awesome.
Yeah.
And He created you to be the way you are. You don't have to think bad about yourself. We know who He is and we know who we are, Father and children. Beautiful. And we know we're going to get what's coming to us. Now, if you were having a bad day, you'd be thinking of beating. Ooh, I know what's coming to me because God ain't happy with my sorrow. That's what I've thought that. But this is what he says, an unbelievable inheritance. An unbelievable inheritance. It's so awesome, it's unbelievable. And so we have to shift this something. We have to shift how we see God.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way you see God affects everything in your life. Mm-hmm. Starting with yourself. You'll never see yourself right. You'll never see your friends right. You'll never see your church right. You'll never see the world right if you don't see God right. And one of the things that God is constantly working in my life is trying to convince me, Byron, I'm not like everybody says I am. And I'm not the way you think I am. This is the way I am. I want you to know how I am. And that's been a big shift for me in my life, is getting to know Him as this extravagant Father who's generous beyond measure and has no issues with me. He's not disappointed in me. He may not like everything I do. Of course he does. But he's not disappointed in me. And he wants to be with me way more than I want to be with him.
Right.
Y'all gotten quiet on me. You know why? I'm going to tell you something. There's a war over who God is.
It is.
And there's powerful spirits. I'm telling you, the most powerful spirits I have encountered in my life are religious spirits.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'll tell you how powerful they are. I'm not messing with them. Okay? And I would not advise anybody to be trying to pull a religious spirit down because they're a lot more powerful than any spirit that I've ever been around. They're everywhere. They're the worst place you find them is in the church. You know? They're just everywhere. So y'all have gotten quiet. And the second worst spirit I think there is, or one that's currently pretty powerful, is the poverty spirit. Oh, it's just destroying people. But I don't want to get on all that right now. But it says this, we go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with Him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with Him. So here's what happened to me, okay? The hard times, I want to talk about that just for a second. The hard times, everybody knows about the hard times, right? Is the hard times can wear you out. You know, there's a lot of spiritual warfare that happens in hard times. You know, there is spiritual warfare. If y'all don't, I'm sure all y'all believe in that. I wish there wasn't, gosh. But I feel like I spent the last, up until this year, I feel like I spent 5 years in spiritual warfare. That's the way it felt to me. You know, honestly, the last 5 years of my life were really hard years for me. I mean, real hard. And probably some of the hardest I've gone through, you know, and it got on me. It wore me down. I felt inside, I felt tired all the time. That's what I felt. I just felt tired. Because the season I had been in had been hard. It had been difficult. And so I was in this state of I couldn't get out of it. I couldn't talk myself through that. I couldn't pray myself out. I couldn't worship myself out. I couldn't give myself out. Nothing I did worked. I just couldn't do it. And so I had sort of settled into this mindset of, I'm just going to live with this. I'm going to have to live with this part of me that just feels dead. And I hated it because I didn't want to feel dead. It wasn't that I felt dead completely, but it was a part of me that just felt hurt and felt disappointed. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And I knew that was there. There was another big part of me that felt alive and felt full of love and full of joy and peace and all those things. But that part in me bothered me a lot. And I would just keep going over my mind over and over and over, praying about things that went in the last season. Mainly saying the same stupid thing over, Lord, I'm so sorry. This happened, that happened. Like I could do something about some of those things. I could do nothing about them. But so one night we were in our house. This is amazing. One night we were in our house. We were having a meeting in our house that I did not want to have. That's the way it was. Like, oh gosh, another Christian meeting. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's what I don't want to go to another Christian meeting. I've done thousands of Christian meetings now. So that's why, but we had a friend. She wanted to do it. She was from out of town. So we'll do a worship meeting. God, please show up, because this is going to be miserable if you don't. So we started worshiping, and the Lord did show up. It was amazing. It was beautiful. We were having a great time. And all of a sudden, I started thinking about the past 5 years of my life in this meeting. This is a few weeks after January 1st. I think it was in January.
The meeting was in February.
February 6th? Yeah, it's February 6th. It's like a month after the Lord spoke that word to me about standing in your lane. It's all connected, by the way. So I was sitting in this meeting, and the Lord was touching me, and I was just enjoying the Lord and worshiping the Lord. And I started talking that crazy talk to the Lord again about my past 5 years and how so sorry I was. I'm sorry this person died. I'm sorry the church went through this. And I'm sorry I failed here, and I didn't do well with this. Lord, I'm just so sorry. And I just doing all that. And all of a sudden, I'm standing in the backyard in a vision. And I'm like this little boy, which I am. And I'm saying this stuff to Abba. He was standing there looking at me like a daddy looking at their son. And their son's trying to explain to their daddy what's going on in their life. It was amazing. And I knew he was Abba Daddy. I knew. This is Abba Daddy. I'm talking to him. And he looked at me after I finished. And he looked straight into my eyes and said, okay, what do you want to do now? That's what he said to me. That was profound. Because when he said, okay, it was like everything that was in me, every sorrow, every pain, every disappointment I felt about myself and about what was going on around me, suddenly just gone. It was like he was saying, I've taken care of all that.
Yeah.
That's all over with. We're done with that. Now, here's the thing. What do you want to do? You want to keep grave tending?
Yeah.
You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You want to keep grave tending? Is that what you want to do, Byron? You want to grave tend over what was? What do you want to do now? So it ended with me and Abba walking off on this adventure.
Good.
We were going off, and I don't know what the adventure was or is, but that's where we were headed.
Yeah.
And then the next morning, I get up and read this verse. I hadn't even read it before in the Message Bible. And I thought, oh, that's it. I just experienced that last night. I'm engaged all of a sudden. I'm back in the lane all of a sudden.
Yeah.
You know, I'm with the papa. I'm with the daddy. And he has an adventure.
Yeah.
That's good.
That he wants me to go with him on.
Yeah.
And so here's one thing I learned about adventures with the Lord, just in case you didn't know. And this applies to your lane. God will go with you anywhere you want to go. Okay? Because he loves you.
Yeah.
He loves to be with you. Okay? He dearly loves to be with you. But here's one thing I figured out about him. If it ain't his adventure, he's not going to lift a finger to help you do it. Do you hear that? He will not lift a finger to help you do it. In other words, if I try to go and do the Jim Hill thing, God would go with me because God loves me. He wants to be with his children. But it's like, you're doing it. It's your adventure. So I've kind of learned in my life, I'm not doing adventures unless it's his adventure. It's like in my mind, Lord, I'll do this, because he's been telling me some things. And I'm thinking, I'll do this, Lord, but it's got to be yours. It's got to be your thing. I'm not interested in doing this if you're not doing it. If this is not what you want to do in my life. So I want to encourage you about that. If it ain't God's lane, if it ain't God's course for you, he'll go with you because he will never leave you or forsake you. And that confused me for so long because I know that. Well, the Lord's with me, but why are you doing nothing? You know? And that was, it's what he told me. It's because it's yours. You do it. You know, you do it because you're the one who wanted to do this. I just want to be with you. But if you want to come with me, I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'll do it. I'll do all the heavy lifting and let you pick up, you know, do whatever, you know, have fun in the meantime.
That's good.
I think that's what
works.
Yes. They call it Ishmael, right? Yeah. So, here's some things I feel. Are y'all still okay?
Yeah.
I'm about to be done here. I got to. I'm running out of time. Here's what he was telling me. And this is what's been happening. It's acceleration, okay? Is there's like this supernatural energy that God wants to release on people to accelerate them into their future, okay? But here's the key. God is not going to accelerate you if you're not in your lane, because if he accelerates you in the wrong lane, you will wind up in the wrong place. Do y'all follow that? So,
yeah.
See, he won't release that energy towards you if you're going in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
He's going to only release that energy to get you where he wants you to go, which ultimately is new places in his heart that you've never been before.
Yeah.
Are y'all following that?
Yeah.
Right.
And so he wants to release this phenomena called acceleration majorly. And once you start getting in his lane, you start feeling again. You start feeling energized inside again. You start feeling in your heart like, hey, I'm having an awakening.
Yeah.
That's the way I feel. Gosh, I'm having this personal revival that's happening in my life right now. A lot of people I'm around, they're not having it. It's kind of hard in some ways, but there's this life in me that I haven't had in a few years. And it's this energy from God. It's this life from God flowing in me.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, and because he wants to accelerate me forward. Into this day that God has for us.
Yeah.
You know, that's why you can't be a grave tender.
Yeah.
Because if you're a grave tender, he's not going to accelerate you to be a grave tender. Because the resurrection life is not that. It's an adventuresome life. It's a life of walking with God and whatever God's doing. You know, and since that time, I'm finding this, the best way I can describe this, it's like being on a trail. You know, how many people go hiking trails? There's different things on trails. There's like fields that are clear. There's rocky places. There's, you know, real shady places. There's streams. But it's not the same all the time. It's constantly changing. So there's this thing that's happening, this dynamic that's happening in my life right now that I think's really, really important. Let me read this scripture. Woo, the Lord wants to get us to a new place with him. I'll tell you that.
Right.
He really does. He wants to get you to a place you've never been before with him. You got to let go.
Yeah.
Becky said it. Mm-hmm. You got to let go. She said, you got to let go of the past. It's done. It's over. You got to let go and move forward with God.
Yeah.
Let's a big word. I've shared this many, many times because I've learned this. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. Let this mind. It's a let thing. Let's huge in the spiritual realm. Instead of trying to work to get the mind across, we just let it. I say that to me a little. Well, Lord, I'm going to let your mind be in me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I start getting this flow of thoughts that are not from me or from the world or from the devil. It's from heaven because I'm letting something happen.
Yeah.
You know, so one of the things that I've had to do is I've had to let the Lord break off the disappointment and all that warfare from that last season. I've had to let him break that thing off of me.
Yeah.
because it was on me and it was binding, and there were things that came up in me that were, I realized it was hurting me that I didn't really know was there. But I could feel it in me. And I'll tell you, at one point, this is after the Lord revealed all this stuff to me, is this is big for me if y'all didn't know me, because I've always had this beautiful thing happen to me. It's called the Holy Spirit's a counselor. Because he's always counseling me. In fact, he counseled Becky and I when we were young married and we were about to kill each other. He started visiting us at night, you know, keeping us up all night. But he would counsel us. So I've always had this thing with the Lord, but I found there was some hurt in me that it was terrible. And I was thinking, I got to go to a counselor because I can't figure out how to fix this. I don't understand how to fix this hurt. It was very real hurt. And so I finally told Becky one day through many tears, you know, she had a lot of wisdom that day. She wasn't trying to correct me or preach to me. She just sat there and listened to me. And it was just amazing. We had this long conversation. I really talked to her about how I was feeling, about some circumstances and situations that happened to me that were real wounding to me. And we all go through that, you know. And this happened a few years ago. But when I got up from there, I was healed. It was like God, just me talking about it, just supernaturally healed. It was like I was letting the Lord break stuff off of my heart that was in there. And pull stuff out of my heart, because I was willing to go. I was willing to go to a real counselor, you know. Not that there's fake counselors, but they probably are. Yeah. So, here's another thing that the Lord's doing is this is important. Let Him turn the water into wine. Okay, and what that means to me is water is natural, right?
Right.
In Scripture, wine it became something supernatural. And that's the Holy Spirit, you know, is God is doing stuff, okay, in our natural realm all the time. And so God wants us to see that and know that. Yeah. What He's doing around us. And where we go, God's at work and He's doing things. And so it is like turning the water into wine. We have to let Him do it. We have to engage Him on that. We don't have to have a gift to do that. We just have to use our spiritual senses that we got when we were born again.
Yeah.
You know? And this, so to me, it's like letting my life be a supernatural life, no matter what I'm doing. Instead of just thinking all natural, think supernatural.
Yeah.
You know, and seeing what God's doing and looking at people, and most of it's around people. Okay? Because God loves human beings dearly. And He's always thinking about human beings. So if you really want to get engaged with the supernatural realm, start thinking about people. And then God will start talking to you about them and start revealing to you stuff about them, that He thinks about them, that He feels about them, that He cares about them. I mean, it's pretty powerful, really, when you let that happen. Lord have mercy. I got to finish. Two more minutes, right, Sarah?
Yeah.
Hour, yeah. That's a bad thought. I am about finished. I did want to say about the prophetic thing, though. You know, I said it kind of. I think there's like a new breath on the prophetic right now.
Yeah.
Okay, that I haven't felt a long time. And I think God's raising up like for a new generation of prophets.
That's right.
Okay, I really do. Some of them are very influenced by the old prophets that have passed on off the scene, but then there's some, you know, like really young prophets that God's raising up. So I think God's really blowing on the prophetic. And I think one of the things that God really wants us to do, the natural to the supernatural, has to do with the world we live in. Mm-hmm. What's going on in the world. You know, prophetically, to understand what's going on in the world. So we can pray accurately and make choices accurately. You know, in 2008, before all that stuff started happening, God started showing me. I didn't understand it. But I saw this whole, I saw a bank, as a bank in Charlotte called Wachovia Bank, which no longer exists. It's now
Wells Fargo.
I saw that bank. It had a big old high rise in Charlotte. I saw that bank burning down. And I was like, what the heck? The bank's going to burn down. I thought it was physically going to burn down. It wasn't physically. It was the banking system. It was about the banking system having a meltdown. But I didn't understand that. We had some storms that come through. I saw these storms coming, and I saw there was no gas. And I literally was on 77 and saw people on exits walking with gas. Their cars, they had no gas. They ran out, and they were walking with a gas can, hoping to find a gas station open somewhere. But see, I didn't have enough wisdom at that time to put all that kind of stuff together. You see, God, and now, well, I think for me, and I don't know about you, but I think there's probably people in this room, there's a stir in me about what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
Not about politics, but about what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
That stuff I said about, I'm stirred about that. That's, for some reason, God started, I started researching stuff, trying to find out what was really going on. Yeah. Well, Ian, what's really going on with Donald Trump? What's really going on with him? Is all this stuff he's saying, what's really behind this? What's behind what the news is saying about Donald Trump? What's behind what the news is saying about this, about that? I wanted to know. And I have never really, always I felt about like, I don't want to even know. That's the way I felt, like they're bad, everybody's bad, I don't care. But I think there's this prophetic thing that God wants to release to the church, okay, about the world that we live in. Because he wants us to have some influence on this world.
Yeah.
And he wants us to know what's really going on, what's really behind this curtain, so to speak. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
And so that to me is turning water into wine, is hearing all this stuff, but really asking the Lord to give me insight and discernment about what's really going on. I think that's a wave of the prophetic that God really wants to release. And I think it's cool in the church to give words and all that. I think that'll always be around, but really, you know, we need to go into a higher level of the prophetic. You know, and I think that's where God wants to take us. All right, can I read this one last scripture?
Absolutely.
Are y'all okay?
Yeah.
Y'all are bad. Y'all are worse than people in Mooresville. One of the things that's going to help you, if you'll do this, is repent. Okay? And repentance means change the way you think. That's what it literally means. It's not just about sin. Well, you do need to change the way you think about your sin. And that's for sure. I mean, that's elementary. That's your first level of repentance. I need to stop liking doing this. I need to start thinking this is a bad thing to do instead of a good thing to do. And stop doing it. Okay? And do something different. But there's ways that we can start thinking that will prosper us. And propel us into what God's doing.
Yeah.
That's changing the way you think. God really wants to propel us in the thing, move us into what he's doing. But we have to think different than the way we did in the past.
Yeah.
Okay? And so this story here has just been on my mind so much. And it's about repentance, really, but it doesn't say that. And we all know it. It's the feeding of the 5,000. Let me just read this, just kind of put it in your mind. It's Matthew 14:14-17. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said to them, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat." So right there, Jesus was trying to teach his disciples how to think differently. You see that? They were thinking, normal. We can't feed all these people. Get them out of here. We're done with them anyway. If you read the whole story, they were wore out. Like, we're done. Get us, we're done. We're tired. We want to go home. So get them out of here. So they'll leave us alone. And Jesus said, "No, they don't need to go. You do it." And they were actually, and that's when that was like a word for him to help them shift the way they were thinking and start thinking in a different realm. And see, that's what the church is going to have to do. We're going to have to shift the way we think about things. I think there will a day will come with a shift the way we think about how we do church.
Yeah.
And not just come up with some clever idea, but come up with some, allow God to download us into a different way of doing things.
Yeah.
I really believe that. And then they, you know, they don't need to go away. And they said to him, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And, of course, you know the rest of the story. You know, the Lord helped them and used them to help to feed the people, to do this miracle. And so that was a big change the way you think moment for them. So that's something we need to do, is we need to let the Lord teach us how to think differently.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
All right, so I want to finish and I'll tell you this one other thing. This dream I had this week was really powerful. So how many people have problems in here?
Might be better to say who don't.
Yeah. I know. That's better, right, Chuck? Because everybody has problems. I have so many problems in my life, it's crazy. Okay? How many people have physical problems, like health or aches and pains or whatever?
Getting old.
That's anyway, so I had this dream, and in this dream, I was going through problems. Problem after problem. It was like a succession of problems. But here's what was happening in it. Every one of the problems, God was solving.
Yeah.
Every one of them. And so I woke up thinking, Lord, oh man, I think you want to solve some problems. Okay? I really think you want to do that. That's what you were telling me. And so one of the problems that I've had was, did you know what an MCL is? You know what an MCL is in your knee? Mm-hmm. It's a ligament in your knee that I messed up really bad. And it really has kind of messed my exercise life up. Well, in the dream, I was running. And my problem was watching my neighbors run when my knee was messed up. I'd watch them be running thinking, I wish I could do that again. I felt bad because it just was frustrating me. I couldn't do that. So I said, Lord, I believe you. That's one of the things you want to do. You want to heal my knee. And so I said, Lord, would you heal my knee? And I said, the Lord has healed my knee because I saw it in a dream. And all the other problems I was seeing in the dream, he had fixed them for me. Okay? So, but my knee was still hurting. I was saying, well, Lord, if you fix my knee, why is it still hurting? And this is what he said to me. You need to speak to your knee. Okay, you need to tell your knee to stop hurting. It does not have a right to hurt. You know, Jesus was world famous for talking things, right? He talked to trees. He talked to the wind. You know, he spoke to disease.
Yeah.
People, really, we need to get that. It's right out of the Bible, Mark 11. Say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea.
Yeah.
And this is what I've always told people. When you have a problem, that problem is not going to be listening to some preacher speak to your problem. That problem is going to listen to you and God speak to it. You understand what I'm saying? We're wanting some outside force to come in and deal with our problems, where the Lord gave us the example was, no, between me and you, let's speak to that problem and fix that problem. God wants to use your voice to solve problems. So Becky and I went through the list of problem situations that would come up for us. Like, okay, we're going to pray for this situation, and we're going to start speaking to it.
That's right.
And declaring a solution from heaven over those situations. And that's really what the Lord wants to do, I believe, here. Is I believe the Lord wants to solve some problems here in your life.
Amen.
God is a problem solver. He's an engineer, if there ever was one. Yeah. He knows how to solve problems.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. Once when I was in the engineer world, I was an engineer one time. I was a young engineer, and I had been working for a couple months, and the big boss came by to see me, came to my office. Well, how's it going, Byron? You liking working here? Is everything going good? Anything we need to do for you? Well, I'm doing great. I said, except for all these problems that people have. He said, what do you mean? I said, you know, the customer, they always got these problems. And he looked at me. I'll never forget this. This is one of these profound moments of your life. He said, son, that's what he said. He's calling it back. Son, you're an engineer. Engineers are problem solvers. Without problems, you don't have a job. And he turned around and walked out of my office.
That's good.
Yeah. Let's level. Okay. I love the problems. Send me problems. That's what I'm supposed to do. Fix problems. Well, God wants us to know that he's a problem solver.
Yeah.
That's what I want to leave you with. And he's a problem solver.
Yeah.
That is good.
You know, and you need to start speaking to your problem.
Amen.
and start telling it. Like my knee, like you can't hurt. I was doing something the other day and it started hurting again. No, you do not have a right to hurt.
That's good.
You do not have. You're not hurt no more. You're healed. This is phantom pain. So I just wanted to pray for that, for just for your problems, that you get that anointing for problem solving flowing in your life. But I also want to just pray also that, you know, that 2018, really, that you can have an encounter with the Lord, you know, that propel you into 2018. And you could get your, you could find your lane. You could get in your lane. You could get accelerated in your lane. Because we're in accelerating, you know, God, that acceleration is starting to flow. I know there's prophetic people sitting in this room.
Yeah.
And I know there's an anointing for prayer here.
Yeah.
You know, there really is. There's a powerful anointing. That thing is going to come, and I just cannot stand prayer that doesn't have an anointing on it. It's terrible. You know, to go to prayer meetings and it's like, but man, when God is breathing on prayer, it's the best.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're doing something. You're doing something. I feel like God is just going to breathe on prayer. He's going to breathe on the prophetic. He's going to breathe on your life. And I just want to Lord, I just pray that for people in this room, that hope would arise in them this morning, Lord. And we could begin to get a vision, Lord, for our life again. Those who've lost vision for their life and lost their way, Lord,
yes,
have gotten sort of lukewarmish,
mm-hmm,
kind of lukewarm, maybe not 100%, but kind of leaning that way, kind of disappointed in their hearts, Lord. Lord, I just ask you today that something would be an encounter.
Mm-hmm.
I pray for dreams, visions, and revelations to start flowing.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I just felt in the worship this morning that there's something you want to do here. There's a spark that you want to bring.
Lord,
yes. Lord, I just ask you to release that spark.
Yes.
Yeah.
One of my famous stories for us at our church is we did this thing one time. And there was this little girl named Sarah Moore, okay, and a couple other people did this youth Sunday, and they had this scripture. Remember that scripture? The rise of healing and healing.
Yeah.
And you know what happened that day in that church? There was a little spark happening in that little church.
Yeah.
It was a tiny spark from the Lord, but that tiny spark grew and became a burning fire. It started with just like three young people on a youth Sunday sharing, you know, and I thought there's a spark to happen in here.
Yeah.
Just a little spark.
Yeah.
And that little spark created a revival. That little spark created a youth revival a few years down there. It was a big, you know, they had like over 100 kids in the youth group. The kids were getting saved like crazy.
Yeah.
Then there was another revival that happened after that, the Holy Spirit River revival. It was powerful, all from one little spark.
Right.
I read the story of that singing group that used to be real famous that did the big stadiums. Remember them? Remember who we were talking about? Their Christian group? Y'all help me, come on. We used to go see them back in the 90s. Huh? Majesty? They did a Majesty song. Who is it?
Delirious.
Yes. That's how Delirious started. This is what their testimony was.
Right.
They were in England.
That's right.
Okay, this is amazing. And this guy was one of the Delirious guys, was a worship leader in the church. And he had a friend, the main guy for Delirious, said, "Hey, I want you to come. We're doing worship." And he said, "Dang, you had to drive 100 miles to get there," which is a long ways in England to drive, by the way, which is crazy to me. But he would go. And they were just a few people gathering for worship.
Yeah.
And he said, out of that little spark of those few people gathering,
that
whole move, and Delirious wound up, you know, worshiping, doing, I mean, there was a move of God around
that's
Delirious.
Right. That's
it,
right.
It was all a little spark, a few little people worshiping the Lord.
Yeah.
And Delirious was born out of that.
Yeah.
And people to this day, people will tell you, people in the worship music industry will tell you, they have had a profound impact on music in the Christian world. A profound impact. A little spark.
That's good.
And when we were in here this morning in worship, I feel like God wants to bring a little spark into this church.
And so be it, Lord.
That's right.
Yeah,
so
and we don't have to look for something big. Just let the little spark happen.
Yeah.
And when
you.
That little spark happens, something is going to grow. It's got its own energy. It's got its own power. to really, at some point, just break out.
Yes.
And you have like a Holy Spirit breakout here. I believe there's going to be a Holy Spirit breakout in this church.
Yeah.
That's going to be amazing.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, and it's what this church needs. It needs a Holy Spirit breakout. And but the Lord has a way of bringing that to pass. We see the breakout. We don't see what happened steps beyond, before that. I saw the steps before. I saw three young people get up, share their hearts, and God sparked something. And out of that came at least two moves of God. And this church came out of that. Because this church came out of that move of God. Amen?
Right. Amen.
Who's encouraged?
I'm encouraged.
Who's discouraged? Yeah. Why don't y'all stand up? Yeah, amen. Lord, we're just looking for heaven to come down on everybody in this room this morning. Lord, I pray somebody got something this morning.
Yes.
And
we'll
go out the door different.
Yes.
Lord, I pray, the Bible says the old men will dream dreams.
Amen.
Old men and young women and old women, older women, you shouldn't call it woman old, just laughing. Older men and older women, Lord, in this room, I just pray a release of dreams from heaven on.
Yeah.
That they would begin to get dreams and their heart would get
on
fire again. And I pray for the young people in this room, for visions from heaven,
Lord, that's right.
That you would open up the spirit realm and they would begin to see things. And I just pray for people who speak here and people who do worship here. I pray for that spirit of revelation to come on, Lord.
Yes.
They would begin to, when they open the Bible up, they would start seeing stuff
that
they've not seen before.
Yes.
They would see your emphasis, Lord.
Yeah.
They would say, it's just time, Lord. And I'm going to call that in right now, Lord.
Right.
I want to call it in, Lord.
Yes.
I just feel like you're saying, it's just, we're going to have a shift here, Lord.
Shift, Lord.
Okay? We're going to have to, we're going to say, we're going to call that in.
Yes.
This is the problem.
Yeah.
We need to see that shift happen
Let
here.
Amen.
And so we're calling it in, Lord.
Yes.
We're calling it in. We're saying, come.
Come.
Release it, Lord. Maybe the spark's already happened. Maybe you're just saying there needs to be a blowing.
Yes.
There needs to be a fresh blowing. So we just say,
blow, Spirit, blow on hearts, blow on minds.
Blow the dust away, Lord.
Amen.
Reactivate your prophets in this place, Lord.
Yes.
Yes.
Come on.
In your prophets, Lord, reactivate them. Call them back up.
Yes.
Call them back up, Lord. They may have thought that they were done and they had served their time.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like you're saying it's time to be called back into active duty.
Thank
you. I call them forth today, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Call them forth.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Let's take a moment. Holy Spirit, just do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Breathe.
Yeah, breathe. Call forth those prophetic voices. Mm-hmm. Lord, I just pray for the people who have that thing like I had, that disappointment in them.
Yeah.
That they can't shake, they can't break.
Mm-hmm.
Lord. No matter what they've done, they just can't get rid of it. They can't get away from it. They can't escape it. It's just in them. Lord, I just ask you like you did for me. It was a gift, Lord. Lord, in a moment's time, just in a vision, Lord, I was free, Lord. And life began to flow, Lord. I began to see things different. I began to hear things different, Lord. You see, the Lord's more interested in the inside of you than he is the outside of you.
Yeah, that's right.
He really is. And that's how he fixes the outside of you, is he fixes the inside.
Yeah.
When the inside's fixed, the outside automatically takes care of itself. So, Father, I just pray right now, in Jesus' name, for the hearts in this room, Lord, that need a fixing this morning, that need a touch from heaven, Lord.
Yeah.
I feel like some of you are like that blind guy that Jesus healed. Remember that he healed this blind guy, and he said, I see men walking like trees. Remember that?
Yeah.
It's the only time in the Bible where Jesus prayed for people two times, and they say there's this condition associated with that. Like, he was actually healed, but his brain had to be fixed to see.
Mm-hmm.
So he fixed his eyes, he healed his eyes, but then he had to heal his thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So, because the way it works. So, I just pray, Lord, I feel like there's people in this room that's had revelation. They've had their eyes open, but their thinking needs that touch, that second touch.
Yeah.
Lord, where their thinking gets adjusted to what they're new, the new thing they're seeing. They're not understanding.
Yeah.
They're not hearing it correctly.
Yeah.
It's like that man. I'm seeing men walking around like trees.
Mm-hmm.
So we ask you, Lord, for that second touch in this room right now upon these minds to see, Lord, and to hear from heaven and to be able to ascertain, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Do you want to pray for that about letting go of that?
Yeah.
So, Lord, this morning we ask you Lord, I was just thinking of that song this morning that says, you are good when there's nothing good in me.
Yeah.
And just thinking of that line that says, of all else, I'm letting go, Lord. So this morning, Lord, we let go of every thought,
yeah,
Lord, that is not in tune with your goodness,
yeah,
and your mercy and your, yeah, kindness. Lord, every bit of it, Lord, every movement from the past, everything we've clung to for security, Lord, today we let go, Lord, and just to be able to move on for the future, what you have ahead of each and every one of us, Lord, as individuals, as families, Lord, as a church body, Lord, we just say, we let go of everything but you, Jesus.
Yeah.
And we, Lord, we're just asking you to release that spirit of wisdom and revelation now of all your goodness, all your mercy, all your kindness, that there's not anything, Lord, that's, Lord, none, anything that is contrary to that, Lord, we let go now in, yeah, Jesus' name. Lord, we're asking you as we let go, Lord, movement begins to happen again. Life, Lord, once again, come forth in us. Lord, just the way we're meant to live, Lord, in freedom, the wide open spaces of grace, Lord. And we thank you for that this morning. In Jesus' name, thank you.
And I want to pray for one more thing too. Byron, maybe you could lead us. I was just feeling like when he was saying that thing about the knee.
Yeah.
I feel like that, I mean, I don't know, almost any of us could think of something physically,
mm-hmm, yeah,
that is bothering,
yeah,
you. I'm talking like I feel like down to the littlest things.
Yeah,
like Gabe was saying, Gabe, I really feel like you need to touch that gland on your,
yeah,
when we pray. We're all, I'm just saying, down,
yeah,
to the littlest things.
Amen.
I just feel like the Lord's just given us that opportunity to speak to it this morning.
Yeah.
So, Byron,
yeah,
will you lead us,
yeah,
all individually?
Yeah.
Yeah, just whatever ailment you may have physically, or,
yes,
even if it's mental or emotional. You know,
yeah,
sometimes your emotions get,
yes,
just wrecked,
yeah,
and it needs a touch. Just put your, if that's you on emotions, that's what I felt. Put your hand back there, the back. That's kind of where your emotions reside in the natural. That, and the Lord will begin to touch those emotions. Or if it's just your thing, and just put your head or whatever, like, and start speaking to it. I want you to speak to it. And I want you to tell it to come in alignment with who you are and who the Father says you are. So, Lord, we just release that right now in this room. We release, we speak to these situations, these problems, these ailments, these emotions, these thoughts. And we just speak to them and tell them they have no right to stay messed up. We command the Lord to come into alignment with what the Word of God teaches, what the Father's declaring over us today. He's declaring healing over us today. He's declaring problem solved today in Jesus' name. And Lord, I also speak to financial problems in this room today. There's people who have issues right now with their money situation. I'm speaking to that money. I'm saying, Lord, it's solved. Be solved, problem solved. We command you to come into alignment in Jesus' name. And if there's anything that you need to do to cooperate with the Lord, by all means, do it. In other words, when I first started doing this, I didn't go out and run 10 miles. That would have been foolish.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I did get up and started bouncing around on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, ask the Lord. Lord, is this something I need to do?
Yeah.
If it's with your money or your emotion, anything, just ask Him. If He tells you, just do what He says to do. That's all you got to do.
That's good.
You know, it's going to be okay. And so, Lord, just we release that word.
Mm-hmm.
We release your love in this room more and more.
Thank you, Lord.
The love of God.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you for the anointing on the worship team.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
The anointing for worship.
Yeah.
Lord, we thank you. We're thankful.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
We really are thankful. Mm-hmm. We thank you there's a heart in this church for missions.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we thank you there's a heart of prayer in this church.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's really strong. It's really important right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to encourage you about the prayer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really feel that that's something that God is saying is really important right now.
Yeah.
Not only for this church, but for the community.
Mm-hmm.
That God is going to give you all a lot more influence. You know, He's going to give you a lot more influence.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, God's not going to rush anything.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to accelerate you into this thing.
That's right.
And you'll find yourself doing some stuff that you haven't been able to do.
That's good.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Oh. thank you, Byron and Becky. All right. Well, you guys have a wonderful day. Be blessed. And we'll see you next weekend and in between.